Welcome to this new installment of our little series, Above the Clouds. Today we will take a text from the fifth canto, which takes up a subject that is very important. Only by the devotee's mercy one can realize the Lord. I quote 5.12.12. O King Rahugana, without taking upon one's head the dust from the lotus feet of a pure devotee, a Mahajan or Mahatma, one cannot attain devotional service. Devotional service is not possible to attain simply by undergoing severe austerities and penances, by gorgeously worshipping the deity, or by strictly following the rules and regulations of the sannyas or grihastha order. Nor is it attained by studying the Vedas, submerging oneself in water, or exposing oneself to fire or scorching sunlight. Here in this verse, Yadabharata tells the king Rahugana how he himself has attained this elevated state of Krishna consciousness, not by austerities, not by deity worship, not by following the rules and regulations of the various orders in the Vanashram system, not even by studying the Vedas. He has attained his exalted state only by the mercy of great devotees. And he says, I have gotten this mercy by taking upon my head the dust from the lotus feet. There is another verse in the seventh canto wherein we hear that unless human society accepts the dust of the lotus feet of great Mahatmas, mankind cannot turn its attention to the lotus feet of Krishna. You might ask yourself, what does this mean to take the dust and smear it all over one's head and then body? Is it to be taken in a literal way? And where do we get such dust? The answer is, yes, when a devotee is present, you discreetly may take the dust on your head and heart. But if they are not present, and even after, when they are present, you follow the instructions. That is close contact. You might ask yourself, why are the scriptures so much insistent that one has a contact, a close contact with a pure devotee so that one can reach Krishna? Well, we have to know that there is a bhakti triad which belongs together. Bhakta, Bhakti, and Bhagavan. These three are inseparable. The devotee, the process of devotional service, and the Lord. The presence of one means the other two come automatically. Think about it. When there is a devotee, by closely observing him, you will get an idea of what is bhakti, and then Krishna will be attracted to be there. There's another triad, the knower, the process of knowing, and the object of knowledge. And when the knower is there, he will be able to tell you how he has attained his knowledge. The process will be revealed by him. And then also the object of knowledge is very quickly there. Therefore, all the scriptures echo. In all circumstances, one should approach saintly persons. This verse from the Yoga Vashishta Ramayan says, even if one doesn't receive any teachings, just spontaneous dialogue with them imparts valuable lessons. When one approaches persons who have real knowledge, emptiness overflows with fullness, death becomes immortal nectar, and disasters can seem like good fortune. I have seen that in the contact with a pure devotee, all kinds of limitations are immediately torn. They all disappear, and you become free from limiting concepts and can see the vastness of Krishna. I would like to bring to your attention something that struck me the other day. It's about Srila Prabhupada. In 1973, he gave his second Mumbai Pandal program with thousands of people in attendance. And this last evening, about which I'm going to speak, there were 20,000 people listening to Srila Prabhupada. But before that, there was a dramatic performance with rented costumes and masks. The production for that evening was Krishna Has a Headache, and Prabhupada wanted to attend it. Quickly, a seat was arranged in front, and then the drama, as we called it those days, started. It started with Krishna sitting there, and Narada Muni approaching him and saying, "My Lord, you seem to be so morose today." And Krishna said, "Yes, I have a terrible headache. And the only medicine is the dust from my devotee's feet." Narada Muni then was sent out to approach various transcendentalists, people, and so on, to ask them for the dust. But they all said, "Oh, if the dust from my feet touches the head of Krishna, it will be a great offense. I could go to hell." Now, when Narada Muni, or the messenger, went to the gopis in Vrindavan, they immediately came all around him and they said, "Oh, you've come from Krishna? How is our Lord? Please tell us." The messenger said, "The Lord has a headache." "Oh no," the gopis exclaimed. "How can we help him then? What can we do?" "The only thing that will cure him is the dust from his devotee's feet," the messenger replied. And then the gopis said without hesitation, "Oh yes, yes," and they bent down. Take it all. Take as much as you want. Take everything." So the messenger, Narada Muni, explained, "Don't you know that you could go to hell for this?" And the gopis said, "We don't care if we go to hell, as long as Krishna's headache is cured." So Prabhupada sat there with his expression, sweet and pure, with a childlike innocence. He was completely absorbed in the drama, seeing Krishna's pastimes with the eyes of a eager devotee. Now, another devotee, not from the one on stage, sat next to Prabhupada and watched him. And this is his report. "Oh, Prabhupada looked so involved. He was watching each part as though he had never heard the story." And the people said, "No, I will not give the dust." He would wince. Shoulders would go up and he would shrink back. And then when the gopis said yes, they would give the dust of their feet to Krishna. Prabhupada leaned forward and streams of tears started to roll down his cheeks. And when the messenger brought the dust of the gopis' feet to Krishna, and Krishna accepted the dust, Srila Prabhupada stood up. His mouth and also his eyes wide open. It was really as if he was seeing Krishna and his associates directly standing in front of him. Now, you must know, during this time, Prabhupada was involved in a heavy effort to take or claim the land which was already paid from the people who wanted to keep it and make some criminal moves. Prabhupada was heavily fighting for Krishna, who was installed on the land. He had many things in his head, but at the same time, he was absolutely free. Absolutely free to be with Krishna. This is what we get when we come with pure devotees. We understand Krishna is more real than anything else that goes on in our life. And this can only be given by devotees. This morning I read something by the famous theologian Thomas Merton. He had met a Vaishnava and he said, "What I learned was not so much by his words as by his life. The lesson that one can and must entrust himself to a higher and unseen wisdom, and that if one can relax his frantic hold on the illusory securities of everyday material existence and abandon himself peacefully to the Supreme Will, he will himself find freedom and peace in that will." My dear listeners, the spiritual subject is not so much transferred to you by knowledge. No, it comes from the heart of a pure and realized soul. And when he speaks or writes, his words or his books carry something else than just concepts. They carry Krishna, who's there in his heart. And in this way, emptiness overflows and fullness comes, where previously there was maybe something like a desert in the heart. Therefore, have contact with pure devotees. How, you might say? Well, I suggest four things. First of all, listen to their recorded lectures as they speak. Second, see if you can actually meet them in person and sit with them. Third, try to find out anything about their life and their example. Prabhupada Lilamrita is a great source of inspiration. And fourth, just go in your mind. Sit next to them in your mind. Absorb what they teach. Absorb what they give as a practical example. And you will see Krishna will come in your heart. Thank you very much for listening. See you all for the next Above the Clouds.